Welcome to the Real Estate Syndication Show. Whether you are a seasoned investor or building a new real estate business, this is the show for you. Whitney Sewell talks to top experts in the business. Our goal is to help you master real estate syndication. And now your host, Whitney Sewell.
This is your daily real estate syndication show. I'm your host, Whitney Sewell. Today, our guest is Stephen Libman. Thanks for being on the show, Stephen.
Hey, thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Stephen's official member at Forbes New York Business Council at Integrity Capital Group. And currently, Integrity Capital Group and its partners own and operate over 2,000 units valued at $150 million in assets and have 1,000 units overfunded and in development. Stephen, you know, thanks again for your time and being on the show and being willing to provide some great content and value to the listeners. And tell the listeners a little more about yourself and just how you got into this business we call syndication and why.
Sure. So my background was single family fix and flip. We actually still own one of the largest wholesale and fix and flip businesses in New Jersey. So we'll do about 200 flips this year in that business. But as we all know, that business is very active. So there's moving parts to it. It's not passive. And I think whenever anybody wants to get into real estate, they're thinking about the freedom that they're trying to provide for them and their families versus this really great job. And that's what we've kind of created is a really good job in that other business. So just over the last 12 to 18 months, Integrity Capital Group was born. And the three partners are all fix and flip and wholesale guys that recognize that the larger the freedom comes from these larger multifamily complexes, self-storage units, student housing complexes, things like that. So we decided to start focusing on those asset classes. And what we found was nobody cared about how much we were going to flip. They didn't care about how many wholesales we were going to do, how many deals we were going to do. They wanted to know about assets under management. And it became kind of a difficult thing to get deals. We couldn't see the deals that we wanted to see, right? They're going to vetted sponsors. They're going to guys that have 1,000 units under management already. So we just couldn't really see good deal flow. And that's why we chose syndication. We said, you know, if we could figure out a way to raise capital, and we've been doing it for years on the fix and flip side, why don't we raise the capital and then go find a sponsor that has a good deal, that has a good track record, and just say, hey, we have some money. We'd like to partner with you on your next deal. And that time came just about, I guess, about 9 months now. And that was a self-storage facility that we're building out in Orlando. It's 1,193 units. CubeSmart is going to manage it. It's ground-up development. It's going to be done in two phases. But really exciting project for our first one out of the gate.
Nice. So, you know, let's back up a little bit, because I think many listeners can relate to you and how you got started in the syndication business specifically. But obviously, you know, did you say 200 flips a year?
Yeah, this year we'll do just about 200. Yeah.
I mean, that's no small task or small feat. I mean, that's very impressive. Just to be able to develop systems like that, and obviously it is a very active business, right, or job.
I just got off the red eye from Denver. It's 8 or 9 o'clock here in New Jersey, and I just spent a week in Denver with the mastermind group that made that business systemized and worked in that way. In 2016, we did 16 deals, so we've grown pretty quickly in that business because of just being around the right people, the mentors that have shown us how to systemize that and grow that. So that's been great. But yeah, that business is active, pactive at best.
Pactive. No, I like that. And that's a whole nother podcast just about the people you're around and how, you know, that's affected your business. And I appreciate you just speaking to that and going, I mean, from 16 to 200, I mean, that speaks volumes to the people you surround yourself around. But you all, you started to move towards multifamily, and what type of multifamily were you first looking for?
Yeah. So initially we were just looking in the Southeast Midwest for 100 units plus of cash flowing value add B2C assets. We were listening to the podcasts, we were learning how to underwrite, we were going out and trying to find deals and, you know, beat the streets. So we weren't, I mean, we're pretty much asset class agnostic. You know, we're not saying we just want this, but we were a little bit tighter with our parameters when it was just us, because we understood how to underwrite multifamily. We weren't doing feasibility studies on, you know, 1,193 units to be managed by CubeSmart in Orlando. So it was just, it was a little bit different of a shift for us when we realized that we weren't getting the deals that we wanted to see, and we had to kind of pivot a little bit.
So, you know, I can appreciate how, you know, you all didn't just give up there and say, okay, let's just keep flipping, or let's just do that. That's what we're good at. You know, and I think that a lot of people, you know, they try to branch out and then they feel some difficulties or some turbulence. And then they're like, okay, you know, let's just stick to this whole thing over here we're comfortable with. Right. And so, you know, talk through that a little bit. You know, how did you keep everybody on board? Say, okay, let's find a different path and let's keep pushing.
Yeah, it wasn't an option to not do it. I mean, we always knew that the real freedom and the real passive lifestyle that we wanted comes from passive income and passive cash flow. So maybe it crossed our mind once or twice to say, hey, well, we have a lot of this deal flow. Why don't we just keep them, rehab them, and rent them? But every single mentor of ours that owns, you know, hundreds or even thousands of units was like, look, yes, it's a little bit harder to break in, but you don't want 150 roofs. You don't want 150 boilers. You don't want 150, you know, AC condensers. You know, if you can figure out how to put that stuff under one roof, you know, the economies of scale really help and benefit. And the third-party management on single family is near impossible. And third-party management over 100 units gets absorbed. So yes, it's going to take longer. Yes, it's going to be harder, but it's going to be worth it. And we just trusted those guys. You know, just put yourself around people that are doing it, and you can systemize that process, and you can see how it really does create true freedom in the long run.
So, you know, talk to the you know, the listener who's in those same shoes that's trying to get into this business, and talk from, you know, going getting into the syndication business and how you actually have gotten in, you know, and how you are, you know, you've built this business now, but you know, why you chose the path that you did, and what that path was to getting started in the syndication business.
Yeah. So after beating our head against the wall for, you know, 9, 12 months, whatever it was, we realized that these brokers, they really want to see a track record before they give you these off market or low market deals. And we were listening to another podcast. I don't know if you're familiar with Kahuna Investments, Corey Peterson. He's now one of our co-sponsors in a couple of deals, and we're working with him on some stuff. But he said to us, he goes, you know what, guys, the money's not in the deal. The money's in the money. He said, if you know how to raise some money, and we did because we've done a lot of fix and flips, he said, why don't you go and find a little bit of money and then go and bring that money to a deal. And then for an equity stake, you can bring money to a deal. I thought about that and I was like, well, that's interesting, because it helps build our portfolio out of the gate, right? So now we have done the self-storage complex, which is, stabilized. That'll be a $30 million asset. And the we did a student housing complex with Corey out in Iowa. It's 294 bed. That's a $13 million purchase. So we've done $35 million worth of deals in the last 6 months, just because we knew how to raise a little bit of capital. And what I find it most interesting is that more people don't teach about this, because, you know, typically you go and join these mastermind groups or you go to these events, right? And it costs money to learn, and that's reasonable because it should. But now, because we have the ability to bring the capital, we're getting paid to learn. So we're partnering with these sponsors that each have 1,000 units under management or better, $75 to $100 million under management or better. And they've been through the pain points, right? They've gone through their management problems. They've gone through their personnel problems. They've gone through their asset problems. They kind of have systems and processes in place. So they'll kind of take us under their wing and walk through the entire process, because we were able to bring the capital to the table. Now we get paid to learn. So, you know, eventually we'll probably do some of our own deals, but it's been a huge blessing on the front end to not have to deal with the headaches and the learning curve that I think the first person through the gate usually does. So, you know, so basically we've become the capital company, and I feel like that is going to let us go further faster. And we kind of get to be a little bit more picky with the assets that come to us, because we're vetting sponsors and we're vetting deals. And if they don't fit the box that we want them to fit into, it's okay to say no. And what I found is that once you say you have some money, deals fall out of the sky. They chase you down. And I was chasing deals down for a long time. You know, our whole team was, and they just weren't coming to fruition. But now we have some money and the phone is ringing.
Well, let's talk about the money a little bit. And, you know, I really like to say, you know, the money is not in the deal. The money's in the money. But, you know, coming from this successful flipping business, now, which I know, you know, quite a few listeners are in those shoes. So, you know, did you find that, you know, the people who were investing in your flips or the contacts you had made in that business are heavily invested, you know, in these next deals in the syndication? Or did you have to develop, you know, and go find a whole new group of investors?
Both. There was only so much money that we could put on the street on single families, right? And these bigger deals help us deploy more capital. So we tapped that some subset of investors pretty quickly. But they were always telling us that they wanted something longer term, because they would deploy capital with us on a flip and it would be 6 months. And regardless of the rate that we're paying them, we're only paying it for a percentage of the year, not the entire year, if they want it securitized. Right, you can only turn that money so many times. So even if you're paying somebody 12%, you can only deploy their capital 9 months out of the year. They're not really making 12%. So what they were finding is that they were asking us for longer term holds, and we wanted to make sure that we could deploy their capital into something that was secure, something that was consistent and safe. So when we started getting involved in these, those guys said, you know, I'd love to move my money from these fix and flips to that, or they found more money, you know, that they wanted to deploy with us. So that's been really great. And then even some of our mentors from the mastermind that we just left, some of those guys that are high level, they said, yeah, I'd like to be involved in this deal too. And they were able to put some money in as well. So we're still in the beginning phases of really educating people as to the fact they can invest in this type of asset class. I'm sure I've heard you guys talk about the self-direction of IRAs and the different opportunities that you can take, either via lazy money or via retirement accounts. And so we're at the beginning stages of having a lot of those conversations. So what I found was, when I was raising capital for a fix and flip, it went a little bit faster because it was a, you know, pretty small asset, pretty small sell. You know, this business is so relational, right? You have to have such a fiduciary responsibility to the capital that you raise and making sure that it gets deployed into the right sponsor and into the right deal. So what I found is it's a little bit longer of a sales cycle, right? But raising that capital really has to be done on, do they like you? Do they trust you? Do they want to be in real estate? It's pretty simple. And I think the biggest thing that we all need to do when we're talking about what we do is just tell people that we're always in deals. We just got under contract on another self-storage facility that's going to be another 80,000 square foot build out, right? So we're looking to raise and deploy another $10 million in the first, you know, 4 to 6 months of this year. But don't hide behind that, right? Like we used to not really shout from the rooftops what it is that we were doing. And it makes it really difficult to raise money when you're not telling everybody what it is that you're doing.
Tell us, please elaborate on that in some detail. Like, how are you telling everybody what you're doing? How are you educating others? What have you found to work?
So really, I mean, when people say, what do you do? There's a great book called Getting the Money. And Susan Lasseter-Lyons is the author of that. And she says, one of her quotes in the book is, you know, I'm not saying that I'm Wonder Woman, but me and Wonder Woman have never been in the same room together. She's like, don't be Wonder Woman. Right? Always tell people what you're doing. So in every conversation now, we tell people, you know, it's easy enough to say I own a commercial investment firm, right? But what we really do is we pair cash flowing high value assets with people that are looking to accelerate their retirement or looking to make consistent, safe returns, not in the market right now. And that piques people's interest, right? They want to know how they can make more safe, consistent returns, especially if you look at the last 12 months, what the Dow Jones did. There's a lot of volatility in the market. I don't care if you're up or down at this point. For me, I don't want to be on the roller coaster, right? I want predictable cash flow. And I think that's why most of us get into this business. So when you tell people that you can help pair those people together, then they don't just look at you as an investor. They look at you as a tool that they can use to help them and their families create that generational wealth. And that's really what gets us excited too. I mean, of course, we're all doing this for ourselves and our families, but when you get to help other people's families get to that place as well, then it's really exciting.
So how do you stand out, you know, from other capital raisers or other people that are doing what you're doing?
So what we have done is we've switched, and we borrowed this model from one of our co-sponsors as well. We've switched how we raise that capital. So I think a lot of people talk about the private equity model, which is kind of like a 6 pref and a 60-40 split or 70-30 split to the GP, right? And a lot of people teach that. I was at Dave Lindahl's event up in Boston, and that's what everybody's teaching, right? Syndicators are typically going out and pitching that type of capital. We don't do that. And I think it's because we have a background in single family, and we've found that people really wanted more consistent returns versus, hey, I hope you guys win so I can win too. So we've structured the deals with our past investors as a 6% preferred return along the way. And then we match that dollar for dollar on the exit. So whatever the liquidity event is, whether that's a refinance or a sale, it's structured as equity, but it gets capped at their 6%. So effectively over a 5-year period of time, they're making it 12% per annum. So there's no real hard dip in the front end of a value add or like the self-storage where we're not cash flowing yet. So I think the consistency through the syndication that we do is different in how we kind of stand out. And I think the people that we're targeting to have those conversations with, that's what they're really looking for. They're looking for those clear, consistent, safe returns versus more of a bet, right? I mean, and you can run pro formas all day, but at the end of the day, it's still betting on upside.
So I haven't heard that structure before. So I just wanted to make sure I'm getting it straight. So you're offering a 6% preferred return. That means obviously investor, case listener doesn't know, listeners or the investors are getting paid before everybody else is getting paid. They're getting paid 6%, but then they get that 6% through the life of the deal. But then when you exit or when you sell, you are matching that 6% at the sale. Is that correct?
Yep. So $100,000 investment will make $6,000 a year for 5 years and make $30,000. Then we exit the property and we write another $30,000 check, effectively making a $160,000 return.
Okay. Okay. And so how do you explain that to an investor? I know we're talking maybe, there's investors that are probably approaching you that have never invested in real estate and they're like, what in the world are you talking about, Steve? preferred return and I'm sure they're saying, well, how am I getting paid? How do you explain that so they understand it and feel comfortable with that type of structure?
So we're basically just letting them know, hey, for every $100,000 that you put in through the cash flow, we're going to pay your 6% quarterly every year, consistently until we exit the property. When we exit the property, we think we're going to do really well on the exit, whether it's because we built value or changed the demographic or whatever we do to increase the value of the property. And because we're so confident that we're going to be able to do that, we're going to match dollar for dollar what your interest payments have been along the way. Right? So it's just that simple. So if we're offering 6, it'll come out to 12. If we're offering 7, it'll come out to 14. If we're offering 5, it'll come out to 10. And every asset is different based on the risk model. And I think so far, investors have been really happy about that because they know consistently they're getting at minimum their preferred return at 6%. And that they know that the upside is going to come when we either sell or refinance.
Awesome. And I really appreciate you going through that because I know a lot of listeners are like, well, I've never heard of that structure before. And so that's awesome. And, but I'd like for us to go ahead and get into talking a little bit about how you found the sponsors that you're working with. And you briefly discussed it, but it's a common question that I get every day when I'm taking phone calls, from people and investors or people looking to get into this business. They're like, well, I'd love to start raising capital or I'd love to, how do I find that deal sponsor and them allow me to partner and bring some capital just to learn, and tell us a little bit about how you did that.
It's really just networking. I mean, just going to the places where sponsors go, right? Going to the events where they go, talking to the people that they talk to. And I think it's probably a question you get a lot because you probably know a lot of sponsors and people go, oh, well, here's the guy that can connect me. And there's a lot of people out there that can do that, right? So, I mean, we started going to a bunch of multifamily events last year just to go talk to people and say, hey, we're looking to get in the business. Know that you guys are in the business. And tell me a little bit about your business and how you got started and how big it is now. And then you start to just build those relationships with folks. And when a deal pops up, they remembered us because we said, hey, we're going to be raising capital and we want to get involved in the deal. If you have a deal that, you know, needs money, call us. And I think it's just that simple, right? Go to where the sponsors are.
So go to where they're at, networking and talking to the people that they know. And did you, as far as the sponsors that you've partnered with, did you find some way to provide value to them, or did you meet them, say, outside of a big networking event? It's hard to really develop a relationship right off the bat at a big, you know, event where there's 400, 500 people, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, what was the next step that you took to make that happen?
Yeah, and I think just always shouting it from the rooftops. I mean, social media, we utilize it to tell everybody what it is that we're doing. We're always networking on social media groups and, you know, talking to different people. And ironically enough, the first deal that we did, the guy hit me up on Facebook and he said, hey, I'm looking for this much money. And I said, well, do you have time for a call? And he was on vacation with his family in, I think, Jamaica. And we had an hour-long conversation. And he said, you know, here's the timeline. Here's how much money. Would you guys like to get involved? And I said, yeah, give me a day before I commit, because I got to talk to the partners, right? And that's a lot of money to raise in a short period of time. And we haven't done it before, but I'm confident that we can. And he was like, okay, yeah, I think this would be cool. And that's kind of how we met, was just Facebook groups, knowing the same people. I didn't know him directly, but I knew a few people that he did know. So it was kind of, you know, one point of separation, but literally he just posted something on Facebook. It was like, I need $10 million. And, you know, we worked that down to financing and all the different things, but I said, I might be able to help you with that. And that was kind of the value that we needed. He just deployed almost $9 or $10 million in other projects that he had going on. He has over 1,000 units under management as well. He just deployed a lot of his investors' equity, and he was not tapped, but close. And, you know, it would be easier for him to hit the easy button on this and then go and find another deal. So he's doing what he's really good at, which is finding and vetting and underwriting deals. And we're doing what we're really good at, which is finding and deploying capital.
So we won't have time to go into every detail of this, but can you give us just a little bit of your buying criteria? Why does a deal work for you, and what's a big, you know, red flag quickly to shut it down?
So I actually am mostly on the capital side. If Travis Cotter, who is one of three partners, so it's me, Adam Ray, and Travis Cotter. Travis does all of our underwriting. We call him the deal killer. He has figured out all of the models and, you know, what it's supposed to look like. So to be honest with you, I can't even tell you that stuff, because when it comes to that, I kick it to Travis and he tells me if we're going to do the deal or not. So
you got a good team. So
yeah.
What's been the hardest part of the syndication business for you so far, Steven?
I think just really learning the structure, right? I mean, really understanding what the legalities are, right? When you're raising capital, there's a lot of legalities, which we didn't really get into today, but it's making sure that you're walking the line with the investors and making sure that you are compliant with the SEC regulations and your PPMs and all of those things. And I'm not a very rule and detail oriented person. I just like to go out and build relationship. So that was the hardest thing for me. And that's just a personality quirk, I think, because I'm not very detailed. The other guys on the team are. So, you know, they had to kind of make sure that when we were talking and having capital raising conversations, that we were doing it within the guidelines of the law. So you got to be careful about that stuff if you're not a rules oriented person. And I don't think a lot of entrepreneurs are very rule oriented. So I think that was the hardest thing to learn. I think the hardest thing to actually do is to get out there and consistently raise capital and make sure that it's a part of your business, and making sure that you're always having those conversations, always meeting new people, and consistently having that conversation as if it is a real business.
What's the number one thing in your business that all of us have to have in our business, maybe to either improve, or something that you just think is like, you got to have this. This is a must.
I think you have to have accountability. I think day to day, you have to be accountable to yourself and to your business partners and to your investors. And I think you have to do that in different ways in each one of those sections. But if you're not accountable to either the process or the system or the investor or the deal, then I think you'll get lazy and you'll fall off.
What's the number one thing that's contributed to your success?
Mentors. It's really been surrounding myself with people that are doing it better than me. I'm not the smartest guy in the room, I'm not ingenious. I'm not trying to figure stuff out on my own. I'm just not reinventing the wheel. So it's finding those guys that are a good cultural, spiritual, and economic fit and saying, hey, this is somebody that I can learn from. And how do I do that?
And what are you all excited about in your business or your company for the future?
We're really excited about helping people, helping them reach their own wealth goals. I mean, so it's exciting for us to be able to do it. And we want the passive income and be able to give us the options that we want to have, but helping other people achieve that as well is, it's a game changer that I'm not sure if we really realized how much satisfaction it would bring to us upfront.
Is there a need in your business right now that you'd like to put out to the listeners?
So much. Yeah. I mean, we're always looking for personnel to get on the team. You know, we're going to be expanding in different marketing channels and trying to get and reaching more people and tell the story about who we are and what we do. So we're always looking to expand the team. And then, yeah, I mean, if people out there that are in our position can see a way to shortcut what we did and get paid to learn because they have some access to some capital, then they should reach out to us. And if we have some deals that are coming up, it might make sense to be able to carve out a little bit of equity for them to put into those deals, because that's how we got started and it's been a game changer.
There you go. I hope the listeners heard that, because that's everybody that calls me asks about that. So how do you like to give back, Stephen?
So we tithe to our churches. You know, we're all believers in our company and we tithe off the top line of our business. And then we do some fun stuff with Samaritan's Purse, digging wells around the world. So clean water is a bigger problem than I think a lot of people here in America understand. So we're trying to dig a bunch of wells and build some medical places or in Africa that some of our partners that are out there building churches and hospitals and stuff like that. So really wherever, you know, whatever shows up that our heart is into, we try to give back wherever we can. And that's part of this business as well, right? I mean, it really is a driver for all of us to say, you know, what does God want to do in our lives and how does he want us to help expand and build the kingdom? And if we can get involved in kingdom business, then our business will be fine.
No, I really appreciate you elaborating on that. It's definitely important to me as well. But tell the listeners how they can learn more about you and get in touch with you.
Yeah. So you can go to integritycapitalgroup.com. And my email is Stephen@integritycapitalgroup.com. So feel free to reach out to us there and you'll see some of the projects that we have going on the website. And yeah, love to hear from you guys.
Awesome. Well, Stephen, thanks again and so much for your time being on the show and helping us understand how you walked through moving from this large flipping business to moving into the syndication business, and how others can also get in and even open in your door to, you know, to other people who are looking to do the same thing. And but I hope the listeners will go to LifeBridge Capital and connect with me, and also go to the Facebook group so we can all learn and grow our businesses together. We'll talk to each of you tomorrow.
Thank you for listening to the Real Estate Syndication Show, brought to you by LifeBridge Capital. LifeBridge Capital works with investors nationwide to invest in real estate, while also donating 50% of its profits to assist parents who are committing to adoption. LifeBridge Capital, making a difference, one investor and one child at a time. Connect online at www.lifebridgecapital.com for free material and videos to further your success.